The Ozarks at Large podcast is made possible by KUAF's contributing listeners. Support from individual listeners in our community helps pay for the cost of producing and distributing this podcast. If you'd like to support this podcast and other digital media produced by KUAF, you can make a contribution at supportkuaf.com.
This is 91.3 KUAF, your home for NPR news and NPR programs since 1985. This is Ozarks at Large for Monday, June 26, 2017. I'm Kyle Kellums. This week in our area begins with news about medical facilities. Arkansas Colleges of Health Education is scheduled to make an announcement tomorrow morning in Fort Smith. The announcement, described in a press release this morning as news about the college's next major endeavor, will be made on the campus of the Arkansas College of Osteopathic Medicine in Fort Smith. Then on Wednesday, Mercy Health Systems will host a ribbon cutting and blessing for the new Mercy Clinic and Orthopedics and Mercy Sports Medicine facility in Rogers. The 22,000-square-foot building is part of Mercy's $247 million expansion plan announced in April 2016. The ribbon cutting is scheduled for 10:30 Wednesday morning at the Rogers location on South 52nd Street. And in the interest of providing more nutrition for families in the Arkansas River Valley, the U.S. Marshals Museum is taking part in a food drive to benefit the River Valley Regional Food Bank. The Marshals Museum is accepting donations of cereal, dry beans, canned vegetables, soups, peanut butter, and rice at the museum office at 14 North 3rd Street in downtown Fort Smith. Ahead on today's show, the Pea Ridge Book Bus brings books to children during the summer. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda recently spent an afternoon on the book bus, and she'll take us along on that trip later on our show. First, the University of Arkansas's Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History is back to where it all began. The center started in 1999 in the Department of History in the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences. Now, the Pryor Center is once again part of the college. Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek was there for the announcement this morning.
When the Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History began in 1999, it wasn't much more than a tape recorder in a desk drawer at Fulbright College. U.S. Senator David Pryor and his wife Barbara then provided an initial gift of $220,000 to get it off the ground. In 2005, the Tyson Family Foundation provided another $2 million to create an endowment. Since then, under the supervision of the Chancellor's Office, the center has grown to include state-of-the-art digital video studios and editing suites. It's also home to the KATV News Archive that includes 26,000 hours of video documenting 50 years of Arkansas history.
Both PBS and CNN used Pryor Center materials when it produced election specials, and interview transcripts have been used by institutions, by researchers, by journalists for books and countless magazines.
That's Chancellor Joseph Steinmetz, and this morning he returned the Pryor Center to Fulbright College.
Moving the center to Fulbright College gives the Pryor Center greater access to something that the Chancellor's office frankly doesn't have, and that's students.
The center will now be supervised by Fulbright College Dean Todd Shields. He says a transition team led by retired Chancellor Dan Ferriter will expand on what the Pryor Center already does. In addition to a new speaker series, similar to the one at the Clinton School of Public Service, Shields says there will be an academic component.
For example, Larry Foley's here and his students are making document. Where is Larry, by the way? There he is, over here. And his students are making award-winning documentary films all the time, and we're envisioning him having a course up here. Now, Sidney Burris is not here, but his students are doing oral and visual histories of Tibetans who are in exile in India, and we envision that they'll be holding courses up here. And Bob Cochran is here. Where's Bob? He's over here. The Center for Arkansas Regional Studies has already been doing some projects up here with the Pryor Center. We envisioned them teaching some classes up here and having students involved.
Shields says they also envision students working on special programs, like documenting the recent women's marches.
I mean, we're sick to death that we missed when the women marched on Little Rock or when the scientists marched recently. But with a new invigorated center, we'll be prepared to catch those on tape for future generations. And also, the Republican takeover of Congress. We have a Republican legislature for the first time in a very long time, and we need to document that so that people 50, 60 years from now know what these people believed and what these people thought and how they did that.
Right now, the Pryor Center has 5 full-time and 2 part-time employees, but Shields says they also want to open up opportunities for internships and volunteering. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Zuzanna Sitek.
with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination.
There are events staged for the public and press nearly every day in Northwest Arkansas and the Arkansas River Valley. When Theater Squared puts together such an occasion, it isn't just a press conference, it's a show. Friday's late afternoon groundbreaking for a $34 million new theater also served as the official start of the public phase of the fundraising effort for that theater. The gathering had many of the elements of a T2 production. There was music. Rita Harvey, an actor with both Broadway and T2 experience, sang Imagination. There were sound effects. Speakers on the outdoor stage at the corner of Weston Spring and downtown Fayetteville were supported by trains, sirens, traffic, and birds.
So we've seen a lot of firsts and a lot of changes in this area.
There was a twist. Mayor Lionel Jordan ending his remarks by grabbing a prop and offering an unexpected nod to Shakespeare.
Alas, for your condition.
And there was a plot. Lynn Carver, the president of the T2 board, offered a brief history of the work to reach the groundbreaking point for a multi-million dollar theater.
Just a little over 2 years ago, I was part of a community strategy group, and we came together to talk about what the future would look like, and recommended a really bold new vision. Here on this corner, here in this community, we see a permanent home for remarkable theater.
And there was, fitting for a groundbreaking, a big pitch toward the sequel, the actual construction of the new theater building. T2 Managing Director Martin Miller laid out the features the theater will include when finished in just a couple of years.
This architecturally distinctive building, which will stand right where you all are standing, that makes me all tingly. It will unite two state-of-the-art theaters, dedicated rehearsal spaces, education and community space, production workshops, 8 dedicated guest artists' apartments. Do we have some artists with us over here?
Miller says T2 has raised about $21 million, or about 60% of the needed $34 million for the new theater. Bob Ford, the artistic director of Theater Squared, says the final public phase to raise the remaining $13 million will go beyond the immediate construction.
And as part of this critical campaign, do you get we're in campaign mode already? We've switched. We'll also establish the Theater Squared Trust, a dedicated reserve to support our operations and expand our artistic and our educational programs. And with your help, we'll ensure not only the completion of this beautiful space, but also our ability to fully create great arts and education programming for decades and decades to come.
Last June, the Fayetteville City Council voted unanimously to provide the space for the theater through a 100-year lease, and the first production in the new theater is expected to be staged in 2019. Designs and more can be seen at the website ournextstage.org.
I'm Robin Young. In the fight against ISIS, female Kurdish fighters are seen as a heroic symbol by the Western media. We'll find out the many reasons they join up.
Yeah, often it was about getting away from, you know, their own patriarchal culture, which often, you know, expected that women would marry at a relatively young age.
Next time, here and now.
Today, from 1 to 3 on 91.3. And ahead on today's Ozarks at Large, a ride around Pea Ridge on the book bus.
This summer, we've been seeing these 4 here. Then we see maybe 3 or 4 at our next stop. Then about 4 or 5 at the next. Then maybe 2 to 4 at the next. And then our largest population that we're serving is at our primary school this year. We have a Boys and Girls Club that has summer care. And so we go, it has our free and reduced lunch program. and our Boys and Girls Club. And so we go there and we probably see 80 to 100 kids.
Antoinette Grajeda takes us along as books and children meet on the road in Pea Ridge. That's ahead on today's show. The National Weather Service offers a 20% chance of showers or maybe a thunderstorm tonight in northwest Arkansas. No rain in the forecast for the Arkansas River Valley. Lows tonight from 59 in northwest Arkansas to mid-60s tonight along the Arkansas River Valley. Partly sunny tomorrow with highs from 85 to 90. Afternoon highs the rest of the week should be in the mid-80s in northwest Arkansas and lower 90s for the Arkansas River Valley. By the way, the National Weather Service also says May 2017 was the third warmest May ever recorded. The average global temperature for May this year was nearly a degree and a half higher than the 20th century average. Average temperature in May this year was only behind those recorded in May 2015 and the current record holder, May 2016. Support for 91.3 comes from Arcom Plus, providing digital and offset printing, graphic design, and promotional items, and a variety of business services for jobs of all sizes. Located just off College Avenue at 461 East Township in Fayetteville, Arcom has been locally owned and operated for over 25 years. Printing NWA.com or 444-7711 for more information. 91.3 is supported by Highlands Oncology Group, helping patients fight the battle every day with a team of cancer specialists in both Benton and Washington counties. Services include radiation, CLIA-certified labs, a multidisciplinary lung clinic, and a lung cancer screening program. HighlandsOncologyGroup.com.
Over the past decade, no-fee services such as Google, Facebook, and Spotify have become commonplace, but are they really free?
Really, these things aren't free, right? We pay for them not with money, but with our attention to advertisements or by surrendering our personal private information.
In the latest Conversations with the Academy, we hear from legal scholar John Newman about the myth of free. You can find the program under the Local Programs and Podcasts tab at KUAF.com.
Of Note with Katie Hendrickson airs tonight at 8 on 91.3 KUAF. It is our locally produced classical music and arts program, and you can hear it every Sunday through Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. It's also on every Sunday through Thursday morning from 9 to 11 on KUAF2, our 24-hour classical music station. Well, by the way, Katie's giving away tickets to the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas's 4th of July Spectacular that will take place at the Walmart Amp in Rogers. The live music and fireworks take place on the 4th. Gates will open at 6. The concert begins at 7:30. Fireworks scheduled to blast off at about 9:15. To be eligible for the free tickets Katie's giving away, just add at Facebook, Of Note with Katie Hendrickson, and presto, you're entered. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. The city of Fort Smith is scheduled to resume recycling today. The resumption was announced by the city Friday after the city's board of directors agreed last week to seek a contract with Third Rock Recycling based in Joplin. The city has not had a contract with a recycling firm since October 2014, and in the interim, a large amount of recyclable material was diverted to the landfill. With today's resumption, recyclable materials will be handed over to Third Rock Recycling for processing, sale, and reuse. The city of Fort Smith is also strongly reminding residents to not set off fireworks in the city limits. The city's fire marshal says violators will be subject to both criminal and civil penalties and fines of up to $500. Possession of some kinds of fireworks, including M80s, M100s, sparkler bombs, or homemade fireworks, are also a felony offense. There will be a city-sanctioned fireworks display the night of the 4th of July, beginning at 9:30 at Harry E. Kelly Park. Governor Asa Hutchinson and Arkansas Economic Development Commission Director Mike Preston are in Tel Aviv, Israel, on the last leg of their economic trade mission. They're meeting representatives of tech companies and firearms manufacturers after previously visiting France and Germany. Governor Hutchinson says the importance of these kinds of trips can be seen in the recent decisions of four Chinese companies to open facilities in Arkansas.
These four companies are investing more than $1.4 billion and creating more than 1,500 jobs for Arkansans. Last month, we made the largest job creation announcement in the history of Arkansas's Delta region. China-based Rui Technology will create 800 new jobs in Forest City and invest $410 million in the area.
Governor Hutchinson says foreign direct investment has grown more than 40% in the last 5 years. More than 450 global employers now have operations in the state. The governor made his comments during his weekly radio address. The Salvation Army of Northwest Arkansas is now under the leadership of Captains Josh and Ashley Robinette. They take over the post following the transfer of Majors Dan and Mary Matthews, who are now taking over the Oklahoma City Salvation Army. The Robinettes have spent the past 2 years at the Hot Springs Salvation Army Corps. The city of Bentonville is beginning the process of moving the Water Utilities Department today. The office will move to 3200 Southwest Municipal Drive, and it is expected to be open for business at the new address by tomorrow. Office hours will remain the same at the new address, 8 to 4:30 weekdays. And the city of Springdale isn't moving Bobby Hopper Park. But the park does now have a new formal address. The old entrance from Upton Lane is closed, and the park can now be accessed through East Huntsville Avenue.
Supporting your public radio station means you care enough about the programs you listen to every day to make sure that they're here for you and others in the future. And you're ensuring that insightful and thought-provoking news coverage is here for the thousands of listeners in our area who may not be able to afford access to this coverage anywhere else. Support the programming you rely on. Give a gift to KUAF. Go online to supportkuaf.com.
A simple way to keep children entertained while escaping the summer heat is reading. But what happens if you can't make it to the local library? How can you provide young bookworms with reading material? If you live in Pea Ridge, the books can come to you. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda has more.
Does that look okay?
Yes, it looks good.
Okay, so we're ready for the other side.
On this warm, sunny morning, Tracy Hager and four other Pea Ridge School District faculty and staff members are hanging banners on the side of an old yellow school bus parked in front of the primary school. These women are using the bus to deliver books to students during summer break. Primary school principal Tracy Hager says she and kindergarten teacher Ashley Clark got the idea for the Pea Ridge book bus at a conference.
We heard a lady speak that does a book bus in Broken Arrow, and Ashley and I both looked at each other and said, okay, we have to do this in Pea Ridge.
Hager says Ashley Clark keeps the program running year after year. Clark is also the person who typically drives the book bus on its weekly route.
Here we go.
Wearing a red t-shirt with Pea Ridge Book Bus printed across the front, Clark exudes cheerfulness as she waves at passers-by. Before they launched the book bus 3 summers ago, Clark says all they had was an idea.
We had no bus. We had no books. We had nothing to hold the books. We had no money.
We had a great idea and passion.
We had a great idea and passion. And it was amazing how everything came together.
They initially planned to deliver books in their own cars. However, Clark says when they talked to the district's transportation director about what neighborhoods to visit, he offered them a bus being gutted and transformed into an equipment vehicle for the football team that wouldn't be in use during the summer. Next, they asked for donations and now have thousands of books. Clark estimates there are about 1,000 books on the bus and at least another 1,000 stored in a classroom. A parent later donated about 38 crates to hold the books. After the first year of hauling all those books in boxes and crates, Clark says they received a $5,000 grant to build the light blue shelves that line the two long walls of the bus. Bungee cords are strapped from post to post to keep the books from tipping during transit. The first stop on today's route is about 6.5 miles from the primary school. Along the way, Clark breaks for a small white dog wandering around the road.
Aww. Little kitty or dog?
Oh, it's a little puppy dog.
after Principal Tracy Hager guides the dog into a nearby yard, Clark continues driving and reaches her first stop, where volunteers Sue Stacy, Sherry Trevathan, and Michelle Schultes pass out popsicles and welcome kids on board.
How are y'all doing? Good?
Books in hand, ready to go.
Oh, God, high five it. How are you doing? Good summer?
The number of children that check out books each week varies.
This summer, we've been seeing these four here. Then we see maybe three or four at our next stop. Then about four or five at the next. Then maybe two to four at the next. And then our largest population that we're serving is at our primary school this year. We have a Boys and Girls Club that has summer care. And so we go, it has our free and reduced lunch program and our Boys and Girls Club. And so we go there and we probably see 80 to 100 kids.
If a neighborhood looks empty upon arrival, Clark can often text parents to see if their kids are home or awake. Clark says the route continues to evolve as they receive feedback from the community.
And that's one of the great things about having our own bus and driving it is, really, it's Have Bus Will Travel. You know, people have called us and asked us to come to the fair. Uh-huh. We've gone to Freedom Fest. Yes. And basically how Tracy, if we're free, we're like, okay, right, we'll go.
Thank you, ladies.
After the children step off the bus with their new books, our departure is delayed by a tiny kitten.
What if he gets in the engine?
How about I step out and see?
Okay, would you please be on Kitty Cat Patrol?
He's a little.
We've never had animals like this, ever. They want a book.
The book bus is popular among pets this Tuesday morning. At another stop, Rufus, a brown and white English bulldog, lumbers his way up the steps to investigate the bus's interior.
Rufus!
She is not helping matters.
Children's reactions to this mobile library range from indifference
I'm not really interested to read.
To wonder. And while some kids are indecisive about their choices, others know exactly what they want.
Do you like that?
In one neighborhood, a group of kids hop out of a pool, dry off, and head straight for the book bus when we arrive. Nicole Cray is standing on the sidewalk holding Caden, her 18-month-old son. She says her older children check out books every week.
I think it's a good thing because it keeps the kids reading all summer. It lets them get different books and it's not money out of their parents' pockets.
While Caden may be too young to read himself, Cray says she and her sons read to him.
The boys love to read to him. Yeah. Book bus, yes. Good job.
Ashley Clark says the local library has a fabulous summer reading program, but it's contingent on kids being able to get to the library. The book bus serves those who can't get there by bringing the books to them.
We want the books in the hands of our kiddos and our families. You know, we want them to be reading them. They may not read it this summer, but they might read it next summer or at some point. And so we want them to associate positive memories with reading and choosing books. And for me, that comes from my own personal childhood because I'm a huge reader. So I love to read. And my parents, they wanted me to be a reader, and they read to me, and they bought me books at the library, and they took me to the library, and they really wanted me to be a reader, and they did those things. And so I love books. I mean, I could read and do nothing else. And so I want these kids to have those warm and loving memories associated with books and people who read with them or talk with them about books.
When you become a reader, Clark says, it becomes a whole new world.
To see that light come on and to know that they can read and that's something that no one can ever take away from you, I think that's very important. That's one of the main reasons that I do it. I mean, I'll never forget last year my kindergarten class had a little boy, and in the spring, hey girls, come on, I'll take your books and then y'all can get new ones. When he learned to read, he became a reader, and anytime I wore a shirt with print on it, he would come up, he would read my shirt. P. Ridge Book Bus, P. Ridge Black Hawks. Whatever it said, he would come up and read it, and it was a different world for him because now he could read and no one could take that from him, and I think that's very important.
The P. Ridge Book Bus generally runs from about 9 a.m. to noon each Tuesday through the end of July. However, the bus will not operate on the 4th of July. You can keep up with where the book bus is traveling to next through its Facebook page or Twitter account. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Mallory, how are you, sis? Good. We got all kinds of books on here, honey.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone from his office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley with Talk Business and Politics. And Michael, the Chicago Cubs are reigning World Series champions. Soon, Arkansans will be able to apply for legal medical marijuana. I'm not saying pigs are growing wings yet, but this is a day I didn't think we'd be talking about.
Well, and we'll be talking about it more. Because I think come January, people will be able to go to a dispensary and legally get 2.5 ounces of marijuana. Of course, the Arkansas officials, I think we still have some Arkansas officials who grew up in those mad reefer days where the government told them that, you know, as soon as you smoke marijuana, the Russians will own our country kind of thing. So they're still warning us that you must have a license. You can't just carry marijuana without a license. That's still illegal.
It's not decriminalized or anything like that in Arkansas. Right.
And then, of course, we have Attorney General Jeff Sessions, U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions. So who knows what will happen between now and whenever. But, yes, the Arkansas Department of Health has created applications and pushed those out to the public for not only for individuals to apply for medical marijuana use, but for growers and dispensaries to begin the process. And the goal, according to health officials, they're thinking that by January of next year, it'll be in place. I mean, that we'll be on our way to where this will be a normal, I don't know if you can call it normal, but it'll be a normalized process. You know, we've talked to Storm Nolan. He's a Fort Smith entrepreneur, business owner. He's head of the Arkansas Cannabis Industry Association. He's also planning on applying for a warehouse to grow cultivation facility is what they call it. So you can't call it a pot farm, Kyle. It's a cultivation facility.
Okay, noted.
Yeah, but you know, his take is that there are a lot of people lining up that want to do this, and we're going to have a series of stories that'll run into next week that looks at the economics of this, and I think there is some interest in investors from outside Arkansas. So we've seen it as a controversial issue, as a healthcare issue, but it's also a business issue. It's an investment story for Arkansas. It's going to generate jobs. It's going to generate tax revenue. So we're going to be covering it from that aspect as well.
And just one other note on the political side of it. I know that there are some lawmakers who don't want this to happen, but they have to consider nothing passes statewide in this state unless it has a fair amount of people who self-identify as Republicans or conservatives backing it. So this isn't just from the left.
No, look, Arkansas is now one of 29 states that have some form or will soon have some form of marijuana use, legalized marijuana use, you know, and that ranges from very limited use to, you know, Oregon, where you have full-blown recreational use. So, yes, and Pew Research has been tracking this for decades now, and the average, I think they surveyed over 2,000, close to 3,000 people, voting age, 57% say that it should be legalized everywhere, and only 37% said it should be illegal. I mean, that in the political world, that is an amazing, that's an overwhelming consensus for the legalization of marijuana. So, yeah, this is not just a one-off.
Well, I don't think any marijuana-related products will be pitched at this week's open call with Walmart, but there are some very interesting items. What is the open call?
Well, it's something that Walmart created where anyone, of course, they have to go through an application process also, but can come pitch their idea to Walmart buyers. It's a two-day event. They have several hundred. Let me see what it is this year. More than 500, they expect more than 500 businesses to present their products. And most of these are made, I should back up. This is the Made in USA. This is part of their Walmart's effort to boost how much product they buy that's manufactured in the U.S. And part of that, Kyle, is also they want to seek some kind of diversity. They want minorities, women-owned businesses to participate in that also. And they say that they've got people from 47 states and Puerto Rico coming with their products. One inventor, Hugh Jarrett, and his wife, Nicole, from Fayetteville, we've kept up with them since their taco plate, which is a very unique looking taco plate, was picked up in 2014. That was the first their open call at Walmart held. And they've got another product this year. It's a infused wood product that smells like either peppermint or vanilla. I forget the other flavors, but it's Hugh invented it when somehow a candle fell over in his house, and he thought, how can we get this smell, this what it was is one of those scentsy warmers, how can we get this without the, you know, it tipping over? And so he invented this piece of infused wood. Now we'll see if Walmart picks it up. I'm not excited about that as I was the taco plate, but,
Well, there's the difference between some people and me. If a candle falls over in my house, the last thing I'm thinking is, how can we make this into something? I'm just thinking, how am I going to get that wax off of that table?
Right. Well, I'm with you, brother. Right. I'm the same way.
Well, I am excited. In Kim Souza's article that you can find at talkbusiness.net, she also says someone's going to pitch a cereal bowl that promises to keep your cereal crisp. I'm all about this invention if it works.
Yeah, I think that's just, I think that's magic. I don't know how that happens. That's, if it's in milk, it's in milk, right?
I don't know, but if it works, I'm all about this.
Okay, yeah, I'll be the first one. I'll get you one for your birthday if it really works.
I appreciate that. Will you have coverage of this on talkbusiness.net? The actual open call is on the 28th.
Yeah, well, as much as we can. It's right. We never know how much access we get, but yes, as much as we can.
All right. Talk Business and Politics. Michael Tilley joins us most Mondays and Fridays. You can read about this and so much more at talkbusiness.net. Michael, have a great week.
You as well, sir.
Tomorrow on Ozarks at Large, murals are becoming a more common, colorful addition around the region. From an octopus in downtown Bentonville to a new logo for downtown Fayetteville, a conversation with some of the artists creating larger-than-life images for the rest of us. That's on tomorrow's Ozarks at Large at noon and 7 p.m. on 91.3. Support for 91.3 comes from the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal, featuring large private companies in the current edition. Plus, local business news in Northwest Arkansas. This edition and subscription information available at 725-0394 or nwabusinessjournal.com. The 7th Annual Winslow Half Marathon and 5K Run is September 16th. This run through the Boston Mountains of Northwest Arkansas will end at the Winslow Community Expo Center with music, food, and local vendors. Registration and information at winslowrun.com. Several athletes connected with the University of Arkansas will be competing at the World Championships later this year. Seven current or former members of the Razorback men's team qualified this weekend at the U.S. Championships in Sacramento and the Jamaican Championships held in Kingston. In Jamaica, Omar McLeod, a gold medal winner at the Rio Olympics last summer, qualified for the 110-meter hurdles. Andrew Irwin qualified for the pole vault at the U.S. Championships, one of three Arkansas-connected men to move on to the Worlds from the U.S. Championships. Sandy Morris will compete in the pole vault at the Worlds after she took first in this weekend's U.S. Championships in California. She earned the silver last year in Rio. In all, four women with Razorback ties have qualified from three countries for the World Championships. So Yanyu Ryu from South Korea is the 2017 Walmart Northwest Arkansas LPGA champion. The win yesterday in Rogers also propels her to the number one spot in the world rankings. She began the weekend ranked third in the world. Former Arkansas Razorback Stacy Lewis tied for fourth this weekend, five strokes off the winning score. The Northwest Arkansas Naturals will take the day off as the Texas League prepares for its annual All-Star Game. Last night, the Nats won at Tulsa 2-1. The Naturals won't play again until Thursday night, when they return to Arvest Ballpark in Springdale to host Corpus Christi. Five Naturals will be on the roster for the Texas League North's team for tomorrow night's All-Star Game in Frisco, Texas. The Arkansas Razorback soccer team will face a half dozen squads that played in the NCAA tournament last year. Arkansas is coming off its own tournament appearance in 2016 and also posted a program record 18 wins last year. Arkansas released its 2017 schedule late Friday, and the Razorbacks will open the season at SMU in Dallas on Friday, August 18th. The first home match is Friday, August 25th, when Arkansas will host Penn State. Penn State is expected to be ranked very high when the first poll for 2017 is released later this summer. The Arkansas men's basketball schedule isn't completely official yet, but we do know that Arkansas will open the season with a home game against Samford on November 10th. That was announced late last week. Other home dates known include December 9th against Minnesota and January 27th against Oklahoma State. And the Arkansas Razorback baseball team, quite familiar with the two teams playing in the College World Series finals that begin tonight in Omaha. The Razorbacks went a combined 2-3 against Florida and LSU in 2017 and played each in the SEC tournament last month, defeating Florida 16-0 and losing to LSU in the SEC Finals 4-2.
The top employer in Steubenville, Ohio isn't a steel mill or a coal mine or a factory. It's the local hospital.
If Trinity Hospital were to fail, this region economically would fail.
I'm Robert Siegel. How Ohio could lose jobs under the Republican efforts to repeal and replace Obamacare, this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 3 to 6 on 91.3. It is Monday, June 26th. Is today the 26th? Okay. The last Monday in June, 2017. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Becca Martin Brown, features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
And if Antoinette were in here with us, we would say, how can it be almost July already?
Well, it's darn near.
I don't understand how that happens. But the fact that it's summer means a couple of things. Okay. Baseball.
Uh-huh.
Love that.
Right.
Lots of opportunities for that in Northwest Arkansas,
yes,
too. And outdoor music festivals.
Oh, yeah. They've already started, and there's no looking back till autumn now.
Let me tell you, I think anybody who wants to go camp in the heat at a music festival is crazy. But that's okay, because I go camp in the heat and pretend I'm in the Middle Ages.
Which, I go to outdoor music festivals, but I've never camped at one. I find other lodging.
And that's one of the things I like about differences in kingdoms in the Society for Creative Anachronism. I liked the ones with air conditioning.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's beside the point.
Right.
Highbury Music Festival is this weekend, and it's back at the farm outside Eureka Springs.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a little bit of all kinds of music. Let's see. They've got Aqueous, and they've got Perpetual Groove, and they've got the Floozies. And they've got a Grateful Dead tribute band, Dark Star Orchestra, which will be playing a four-hour set.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This starts on the 29th, which is Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Continues through the weekend. Tickets start at $55, and you can find out more at highburyfestival.com. Also, in last Friday's What's Up and last Thursday's Free Weekly, we have a new music calendar.
Good call.
We already had an arts calendar that looks a month in advance. We have something we called a best bets, I didn't think about saying it when I named it, calendar that looks ahead. We thought, why not music? And we look not only at Northwest Arkansas, but around the area.
Sure, a day's worth drive, or
exactly,
someone's going to be in Oklahoma City or KC or Dallas.
So if you're going to hear the band of your dreams in Oklahoma City, I want to be sure you know about it. And this is going to happen on the third Thursday and Friday of every month.
Okay.
The fourth is the art calendar, and the first is best bets. got it right.
You still got, a calendar to come up with for the second week.
Oh, no, we have something else for that.
Okay. All right.
And then also this week, tonight at 6 o'clock at the Bella Vista Public Library, they're going to talk about the history of Bella Vista, which just turned 100 years old.
Sure did.
As part of their summer speaker series. On Tuesday night, Evenings on the Lawn happens at Rogers Historical Museum from 4 to 6. The theme this week is old-fashioned toys and ice cream. Works for me.
Yeah.
Tyson Foods Tuesday nights is 5 to 8 on Tuesday at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks in Fayetteville.
That's absolutely free, is it not?
It is free admission. That's part of the point. And then on Wednesday, there's an author talk at the Fayetteville Public Library at 6 with Charlie Allison, who now calls himself Charles.
That's the name on the book. He's Charlie.
Yeah, he's Charlie. Kyle and I have both known him since we were all incredibly young. He is the author of A Brief History of Fayetteville, Arkansas. A book signing will follow and books will be available.
Perfect.
And then on Friday, Sippin' on 6th Street.
Oh my goodness, at the Clayton House in Fort Smith, this is such an exciting event.
Judge Clayton's Southern Soiree. It's a fundraiser with dinner, bourbon, and jazz.
Plus a sangria that's been created just for the event called the Judge's Juice.
I'm a little afraid of that idea.
I think you should be cautious.
That's from 6 to 10 on Friday. Tickets are $50 at 783-3000.
Core beer will be there as well. You will not leave thirsty. There's, I think, some cold coffee.
But do they have someone to keep you from leaving inebriated?
I hope so. But they have some cold coffee that's there, too, from the Artistic Bean.
That sounds like a better choice
for
me.
It's going to be a hootenanny.
Just be responsible.
Yes, of course.
We're not coming to pick you up.
Always be responsible.
Are we coming to pick him up?
No.
Okay. So we're not coming to pick you up.
We need the transit that goes from downtown Fort Smith back to Northwest Arkansas.
Oh, how clever would that be?
Let's do it.
We'll work on that.
All right. Becca Martin Brown is features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
On the next Fresh Air, America's infatuation with gold. We'll talk with James Ledbetter, author of One Nation Under Gold, How One Precious Metal Has Dominated the American Imagination for 4 Centuries. He'll talk about the history of this precious metal and explain what the gold standard is and why some politicians would like to return to it. Join us.
Fresh Air, twice every weekday on 91.3 KUAF at 11 a.m. and at 6 p.m. This is Ozarks at Large. Arkansas has until this fall to rewrite a wide-ranging education plan under the new federal law, the Every Student Succeeds Act, or ESSA. It replaces the Bush administration-era No Child Left Behind. The law shifts toward state control in education and moves away from standardized tests. Arkansas Public Media's Sarah Weitz-Kotacek has the details on Arkansas's draft plan.
The new federal law allows more local decision-making in a few ways not possible under No Child Left Behind, and standardized tests will no longer make up the majority of a school's score. Denise Arola, director of the University of Arkansas at Fayetteville's Office of Innovation, is an advisor on the plan. She says the state will weigh students' improvement as heavily as their actual scores. New quality measures, like chronic absenteeism, will count too.
So how are these kids growing over time? But also looking at that snapshot, how are these students doing right now? Putting those two pieces together and intentionally weighting the growth over the achievement, because again, we want to incentivize. We want you to really focus on what matters most for learning.
High school graduation rates and the success of English language learners will be considered, and scores will be broken down by demographic. Schools with pockets of low-performing students will have 3 years to improve on their own before the district and then the state get involved.
You're going to have this set of information that comes together to give us an overall school performance rating. That's how we're going to understand schools that are really struggling or student groups within schools that are really struggling.
Another shift is with how the state will score teachers. Under No Child Left Behind, educators were notoriously graded based on their students' test scores. That's no longer required. Under the new law, Arkansas would hold off on evaluating teachers for their first 4 years. The department says a lot of stressed out new teachers quit after 3 years. The state's 2016 Teacher of the Year, Megan Abels, says teachers will also have new incentives to stay in the field, like higher status for teachers that get extra training.
These will be opportunities that will be licensed, to go on your license. So that's so exciting that teachers are going to have a ladder just like all other professions. So we're really going to keep and retain those teachers.
The department is taking comments from stakeholders on its website through the end of the month. A final plan will be submitted to the U.S. Department of Education in the fall. Sarah Weitz-Kotacek, Arkansas Public Media.
Arkansas Public Media is funded by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and supported by radio stations in Arkansas. You can find out more at arkansaspublicmedia.org or the Arkansas Public Media Facebook page.
From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansongs. Arkansas-er Glenn Campbell is known as one of the state's musical giants, lesser known as Campbell's pre-stardom time as a session musician, where Campbell ruled the charts anonymously as part of a loose-knit group of studio players called the Click, or the Wrecking Crew. Glenn Travis Campbell was born April 22, 1936, in Pike County to a family of 14. Campbell was adept at music and singing from a young age. Like many Arkansasers of the era, avoiding farm work fueled his ambitions as much as anything, but Campbell was especially skilled. And by the time he fell into lucrative union studio work, he'd logged many miles as a performer, including touring as a member of the Champs of Tequila fame. One of Glenn Campbell's associations during this time was with the Beach Boys. Campbell played on many of the group's early songs, including 1965's number one pop hit, Help Me Rhonda. Campbell toured as a member of the Beach Boys after bandleader Brian Wilson quit touring. Campbell was one on a short list who could step in and not only play Wilson's bass guitar parts, but also sing the famous Beach Boys harmonies. Most notable are Campbell's sessions on the band's 1966 magnum opus, Pet Sounds, though Campbell declined an offer to officially join the band.
Strangers in the night, exchanging glances, wandering in the night. What were the chances we'd be sharing love before the night was through?
Glenn Campbell most often played in the studio with drummer Hal Blaine and bassist Carol Kay, but by nature, the loose-knit session players included dozens and dozens of musicians, later including Little Rock guitarist Louis Shelton. The kinds of performers Glenn Campbell and the rest played for were varied as well, from Phil Spector, Ricky Nelson, the Monkees and Nancy Sinatra, to the Righteous Brothers, Dean Martin, and Frank Sinatra. Sessions with the latter resulted in Sinatra's 1966 number one Grammy-winning comeback hit, Strangers in the Night. During recording, Campbell thought he was getting admiring glances from Sinatra for his guitar work, and later saw Sinatra in the studio booth, talking while looking Campbell's way. Turns out Sinatra thought Campbell was sending him admiring glances, and made it quite clear they were unwelcome.
I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing in the wire, I can hear you through the whine, and the Wichita lineman is still on the line.
As he better established his solo career in the late 1960s, Glen Campbell found himself employing many of the same studio musicians he'd worked with as a session player. Campbell recorded key hits with his former fellow players, including 1968's Wichita Lineman and 1969's Galveston. After a comparatively lean hit-making period in the early 1970s, Campbell hit superstardom, again with help from his former cohorts in the studio with the 1975 smash Rhinestone Cowboy. Glen Campbell had come full circle. Here in its entirety is Arkansas-er Glen Campbell of Billstown in Pike County performing I Just Wasn't Made for These Times with the Beach Boys from the 1966 album Pet Sounds. Just Wasn't Made for These Times from the Beach Boys' 1966 album Pet Sounds featuring Arkansas-er Glen Campbell of Billstown in Pike County. It's another song of Arkansas. From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansongs.
Arkansongs is a production of Experiment Station Studios. Executive producer is Keith Merks. Arkansongs is underwritten by the Old State House Museum in Little Rock, a museum of the Department of Arkansas Heritage. Arkansongs, since 1998.
Next time you look up at the stars, think about this.
Inside you are the remains of a stellar explosion. You are made of stardust. And without the stars, there wouldn't be us.
I'm Guy Raz, the wonders of the universe and the people who still look up every night. Next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
The TED Radio Hour, every Sunday afternoon at 1 on 91.3 KUAF. This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Lincoln, your public radio station for more than 32 years. And Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks so much for spending part of your day with us. Another brand new edition of Ozarks at Large tomorrow at noon and 7. Don't forget, you can subscribe to us as a podcast absolutely free through services like iTunes and Stitcher.